There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Bert, I have so many questions for you today. So many to get to.
I'm surprised by that. This is sort of like a drab, limping back off the bye.
I'll tell you why.
I don't know.
None of them are related to the game today. They're related to other things that are sort of happening.
You don't want
happening.
To break down Josh McCown?
Well, here's what I don't. Here's what I do want to break down. Not just one of the Harbaughs. Harbaugh brothers.
Yep.
Because I know this just feeds right into what you want to talk about. We know that one Harbaugh brother, the one that's coaching in Baltimore currently, will be available this offseason, right? What about the other one? Think the other one could be Pride from Michigan?
So, I've answered this question different ways over the years. I do know after year one, there were some overtures made to him about leaving Michigan that I think that was – they were met with – I think some people were surprised that he was receptive to the idea. Now, I think what – but that was when he first got there, and recruiting can really wear on coaches. I think now he's settled into a groove where he knows the job and he has a good understanding of everything around him. I still don't think he's done coaching in the NFL, guys. I think he's going to be back in the NFL eventually. I just can't imagine you could leave your alma mater after taking that bitch slapping.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
How can you leave if you're Jim Harbaugh after
that?
Well,
here is
62 points.
Well,
62 points.
I know, Bert. Would Michigan really mind?
I don't know.
They were in bad shape before he got there. I think he's done a lot of good things. I think the other thing is, too, it's a little different. It's like when the Broncos hired Elway. You know, when you hire someone like that who's a legend, like before he goes into the job, the dynamics are a little different. It's hard to fire. Like, Texas Tech just fired Cliff Kingsbury. I'm sure that wasn't easy, you know, because that guy was the quarterback at the school. And so I think he's done a lot of good there. I think there are real questions that need to be asked about where they are as a program. They're running that old school offense that he was running in San Francisco that looked completely outdated when you juxtaposed it against the offense that Ryan Day was running for Ohio State yesterday. So there are questions to be asked, but he's done a lot of good there. I mean, that team's got more the talent on that team. You're going to see probably two or three guys go in the first round in April.
Right.
It's a good. It's
but
a
can you
good,
take it to the next level? Or would you want to go to that next guy and say, you've done a really good job. You've turned things around here, yep. But now we're ready for that next step, and we won't be all that
okay,
mad if
so,
you go back to the NFL.
So Brady Hoke was 1-3 and only beat an Ohio State team that had an interim coach on probation. Rich Rodriguez was 0-3.
Now you're just taking a victory lap. Listen to you.
No, but he's just laying
well,
out the case.
We can go down all the numbers.
Urban
7-0, like 14-1 over the last 15.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, shout out to Drew Henson. He got to pop the champagne. Still the last Michigan quarterback to win in Columbus.
Jeez. You're unbelievable.
That's a long time
all right,
ago.
So we talked about Jim.
It'll be 20 years when they go back the next time.
We talked about
just a note.
Well, you know what makes me feel really good for Urban Meyer. He's such a good guy.
Just a note for you to follow.
Oh,
away
the
there.
Fox. Did you see any of this game?
No, I was trying to get back here.
The commentary in game on Urban Meyer was
a little much.
Disgusting.
They
absolutely disgusting.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
Really,
all the adversity that he's faced this year, and all the things that he and his family have.
Oh,
gone
what with Ax Smith situation?
You guys want to talk about John Harbaugh? Then?
Absolutely terrible. Yeah, now you want
to
talk.
Yeah, now he wants to talk about John Harbaugh.
Where could he go? Could he go to New York?
Yeah, so there was a possibility that John Harbaugh wasn't going to be there in 2018. Okay, so I think there's new general manager Eric DaCosta. That's going to be in January when Ozzie's going to hand the job off to him. Lamar Jackson, I think we can all safely assume, will probably be the quarterback in 2019. And so this is a natural breaking point, and I think that you will see a mutual parting of the ways. I do believe that John Harbaugh will be in play in a handful of places, and I think one of the teams that will be making a push for him will be the New York Jets. And how interesting would that be, guys, if you had all of a sudden the coach who's probably been the biggest thorn in Belichick's side over the last 10 years in the conference, now in the division, with a 21-year-old quarterback?
Yeah, I think John Harbaugh lost a little of his luster. I mean, I still think he's a good coach, but yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I think he's a lot like Jim, though, Chris. Here's what I think. Like, yeah. He's a very good program leader who needs good assistance. Like, yeah. They're both that way. Like, and so the offensive coordinator hire goes without saying, critical, right? Like, but if he goes somewhere else and he can put the right sort of staff together, I still think he can lead a program. I still think you can win a Super Bowl with John Harbaugh. The infrastructure around him is the question, and whether or not he can do it to the level he did it his early years in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean,
Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real question, and I, like I said, I think the luster is sort of off of him a little bit. Let me ask you this: this is, you know, a little bit out of the blue, but since we're talking about the division and coaches, is Adam Gase safe in Miami?
I don't think anybody's totally safe in Miami. There were questions about them before the year. They really like their general manager, Chris Greer. Ownership really likes Chris Greer, who has the natural connection back here.
Yes.
He's Bobby Greer's son. He's very well respected there. There was the thought that if Mike Tannenbaum was ever out, would they hold on to Chris Greer? And it's like, you know, I guess on paper it may not be a promotion, but it would be a promotion to being the top football guy. Greer is close with Adam Gase, and so like the scenario that, you know, you have Greer making the decisions, then that would bode well for Gase. I think like what they went through this year was sort of an overall reset, and the question then becomes whether or not ownership has the patience to go through, carry through with the reset. Because I think a lot of the things that have happened this year with them and the way they've been able to sort of handle adversity in different spots, like a lot of it is because Adam Gase did flip the culture upside down. He brought in a lot of good guys like Frank Gore and Amendola and Albert Wilson, guys who are like good, solid locker room guys to replace the Ndamukong Suhs and the Jarvis Landrys of the world. The question is whether or not ownership has the patience to see it through. I think he survives, but the ownership's history there is that, you know, who knows? You know, if you have a bad few games down the stretch, maybe somebody's mind changes.
Bert Breer is with us here on Patriots Preview. Another report today, this one from Jason Lockett Fora, that Josh McDaniels will again be a head coaching candidate despite everything that happened with the Colts. You and I, we've all talked about it here on this show, and we've talked about it on, you know, midday as well. Is he putting his name out there? Is someone floating this for him now? That he is available and he is going to be interviewing? Today you read this report.
I don't think.
There's nothing specifically tied here to, hey, the Browns have interest or the Packers have interest or the Ravens or anybody. It's just, oh, he's back in the mix.
Let me.
Where's that coming from?
I'll just explain the way this works.
Okay,
I think
thank you.
In general terms, okay? In general terms, this time of year.
You know what that means, Chris? I know your tricks, you journalists.
In general
terms. Let me explain in general terms because I know a lot more than I can say.
In general terms, the way this stuff works, like you'll hear in November and December.
Yeah.
This job's going to be open. That job's going to be open. You start to maybe hear a surprise team or two, like, whoa, we weren't expecting them. And then what you'll hear is, well, this coach or that coach is going to be out there. The reason why is because guys who think they're going to become head coaches start to line up assistants. Because when you go into the interview room at the beginning of January, the owner, the general manager, if he's involved, they're going to ask you, who's your OC? Who's your special teams coordinator? Who's your DC? And so the process for all of that has to start way ahead of time.
So that would
and
mean
so
that
Josh
all those
McDaniels' name is one of those names that's circulating around as a guy who's going to be in the mix for head coaching jobs.
Because he's what, checking in with other coaches about their availability to go with him to Team X?
Or their intermediaries handling it.
And the intermediaries creates a lot of people that hear things and know things about what's going on behind the scenes,
and
which is why these reports keep coming
again,
up.
Again, and I think he's going to be in play in Cleveland. I mean, there's a good chance he's in play in Cleveland. I think he's going to be in play in Green Bay. Like, here's the thing. Like, we all talked about him like he, like, just completely assassinated his own chances of getting a job again, right? Like, in
Doesn't
February.
Doesn't appear that way.
You know what? But here's the thing. Like, the reason a lot of these guys get second chances is because there's been so much turnover in the coaching ranks. And this isn't just like the last 5 years. It's like the last 15 years that like a lot of teams, and you don't feel it here because it's not happening here, but there are a lot of teams that are turning over their head coach spot every 3 years. Well, what does that do? That sucks the pipeline dry. So you don't have like this list of like a half dozen names where it's like, yeah, that guy's going to be a head coach next year. That guy's definitely going to get one. Like, you don't have those names. In fact, like, Sean McVay wasn't really that name. Like, Sean McVay was still a year away, right? Like, Sean McVay was like, you heard people talking about him and everything else, and like, yeah, he'll get a couple interviews this year, but probably a year away.
Well,
but you just don't have obvious.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Like Brian Flores last year.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm like, what? Brian Flores is not going to get a head coaching gig? And it sounds and felt like
he was actually getting a legitimate chance.
And
here's part of the here's another like factor in all of this too. Arizona, he interviewed there last year. He did really well in that room. So you know what people are doing. Some teams that are doing their background work now call the teams that were running searches last year. Say, okay, who surprised you? Who'd you like? And Arizona is now telling teams, well, we really like the defensive coordinator from New England, Brian Flores. And so Brian Flores' name is going to be in the mix now.
Right.
There's just lots of stuff happening
in
the background.
And Josh McDaniel's name is still very much in the mix. And it's going to be hard to put that staff together since he already has his staff out in Indianapolis that he burned after they all signed their contracts. All right, Bert, appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bert Breer, the MMQB.